Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
I want to carry on with this series on destiny, and I'm just going to finish the whole redemptive gift area today. In our destiny, we have an inheritance that God has given us. That inheritance contains our identity, our redemptive gift, and a destiny, who I am, my identity, who I am made, how I'm made, my redemptive gift, and what I'm made for, my destiny, or my birthright. And in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So the whole of our life, God begins to work in to bring us to the point where our destiny can be fulfilled, where we can outwork our identity, where we can be the people that God called us to be. Now, everything has messed that up in our lives, and God wants to bring it back into order and purpose. But the reality is, do you know his purpose for your life? And have you accepted his call? Because if you've not accepted his call, then you can't expect all things to work together for good. But if you've accepted his call and you love God and you've given your life to God, you can actually claim that promise that everything is going to work together to bring your life into the fulfillment of its destiny and purpose, which is an awesome thing. We've seen the seven redemptive gifts: prophet, servant, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, mercy. And that gift is put in us at conception and determines the course of our life. It's not fate, because we have to agree with it, but it determines how we're wired up and how we think, so that how we react to the world around us. Of course, it can get messed up. But God intended us to operate in a certain way according to those gifts, so that we can engage in the process of restoring creation. That's why it's called a redemptive gift. It redeems creation back from the slavery that was brought through Satan's fall in the heavens and Adam's fall on the earth. The seven gifts have seven colors associated with them. And each gift we've seen has a particular principle that outworks. For the prophet, which is red, there's creative design. Servant, orange, a platform of authority. Teacher, yellow, responsibility and understanding. Exhorter, green, communication and bonding. Giver, blue, birthing and stewardship. Ruler, indigo, freedom and building. And mercy, violet, intimacy and fulfillment. And those are the sort of principles that operate around the gift. And last week we saw that there are three negative things that come associated with this gift, that God has given us the authority in him to overcome and to be dependent on him. There are demonic strongholds that are associated with it, roots of iniquity and curses on the birthright, and you can look at that again. We also saw last week that the different gifts have different attributes of the soul that they primary function in. So the prophet is mind, servant, the will, teacher, the mind, exhorter, emotions, giver, mind, ruler, will, mercy, emotions. And the negative attributes that come with the gifts that we need to grow and overcome and mature in, we use the opposite spirit to actually bring that change and transformation. We don't try and do it in the way in which we're wired. We use other people's gifts and the other understanding of the other gifts to actually enable us to be transformed and changed. And there's a wheel there with the different colors, which we looked at last week. So the prophet, red, operates in the mind, but needs the servant will and the mercy emotions to get a fully rounded picture of how we're supposed to be. And you can go around that wheel as we did last week and see the different ways in which we can learn to engage. But also the colors and the frequency of the colors and the outworking of that, God is bringing a whole lot of revelation today to the body of Christ, and there are some excellent teachers out there who are teaching this. Ray Hughes is one who does that in the color and sound and frequency in music. He's an awesome worship leader, but many people are doing that. And there is an association with those things with the particular other colors in the Bible. So prophet red has an affinity with the seven spirits of God and the spirit of the Lord. the servant orange with the spirit of wisdom, teacher, the spirit of understanding, exhorter, the spirit of counsel, giver, the spirit of might, ruler, the spirit of knowledge, and mercy, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And God is opening up the realms of heaven for us to engage with those seven spirits of God who are there to tutor us and to train us into sonship. And we will do a teaching on that in the future to actually give you a revelation of that. But I want to encourage it today because I believe God wants to give us some understanding of how color and frequency and sound and all those things work. It's like last week when we were in a circle, Nigel felt he saw us in a circle, and we got into that circle, and Graham put the rainbow flag in the middle. And as the musicians were playing, I could see frequency and color, and it's difficult to describe it because it's not a physical thing that you're seeing, but your spirit is seeing things that are happening, and God is wanting us to understand how the frequencies of heaven and the things in heaven can affect us here on earth. And when I've been in the heavenly realms, there's a harmony there. There's a unity there which brings everything together in a oneness. So here we have our five physical senses, which are smell, taste, touch, sight, and hearing. And we also may have some senses in our soul, which may be our imagination, may be our conscience, different other senses that operate. But in heaven, all these things come together and they bring an amazing harmony that you just feel one with when you're there. And your whole being starts to engage with the realm of heaven, and that frequency tends to move us. Because every one of us has got a frequency, a particular vibrating frequency of sound, light, whatever you want to, a way you want to think about it, that we have. And the science can measure it. And our DNA has a frequency that when you take your DNA, you can actually apply it with a computer program and it can actually sound the song of your DNA. And that song often is in chaos because our DNA comes from our parents. 23 chromosomes from mother, 23 from father, comes together, battles a little bit and decides which bits of which we're going to be. So we carry the record of the generations from the past. Now, that is a battle because we also have a spiritual identity and a spiritual connection. So those two things battle. The Bible says it's like the flesh against the spirit. But actually, it goes much deeper than that. At the very essence of our being, there's something battling for us to come into our eternal alignment with God and who we are as a spiritual being of light. And so this stuff is being released in the body of Christ today. We're getting a greater understanding of how these things work. So certain frequencies of sound can actually bring healing. Certain fragrances of oils can bring healing. There's a revelation that's coming that God wants to bring us and the frequency of our whole body and our life back into alignment with eternity and where we came from, so that we can truly be a manifestation of who we are as sons of God on the earth. And so this stuff is being released today, and there's a whole host of revelation that you can get if you're interested about it. Unfortunately, a whole lot of New Age stuff has hijacked this. And so they've brought a whole lot of New Age therapies and different things that use sound and light and frequency, but they're doing it from the wrong heart and the wrong motive in the power of the soul, and it leaves a tainted stain on people that get involved in those things. Now, when God comes to touch us, it brings righteousness and justice, it brings holiness, it brings peace, it brings joy into our lives, because it's bringing us back into who we really were and who we really are supposed to be. So we need to understand how these things are working today so that we can embrace them. Now, you don't need necessarily to go into the quantum physics understanding of it. I like that stuff, being a bit of a geek, and so I researched that stuff, find it out. And when I went into heaven, God told me a lot of that stuff from a quantum perspective, so I know what he's doing and operating. But this realm is connected to the spiritual realm. And quantum physically, that's what it's expressed. We would not exist unless someone observed us. That's quantum physics 101. Nothing exists without being observed. who observes the universe. Now, there's all sort of quack ideas that come around that, well, our consciousness does it and all that stuff. But the reality is God does it. And the power of his voice when he spoke creation into being is still resonating and vibrating at a quantum physics level within the whole of creation. And so the zero point energy of the quantum realm keeps this realm into being. And there's loads of scriptures around that, and we've talked about that before. But God is revealing this to us now. So there's a really interesting little picture there of the piano keyboard and the different notes that are in musical scale and the frets of a guitar. And each one of those things has a particular color and frequency associated with it. And so when the musicians start playing, they're not just playing sound. There's a connection with light and frequency and fragrance and different things that God wants us to actually experience and come into. And I'm not a musician, so I don't understand the technical side of it, but I know my spirit engages with it. Whenever we engage worship, and recently particularly when we've been engaging the four faces of God and the letters of God's name in worship, there's been a resonance and a frequency. Because what we need to do is we need to resonate with God. And resonance is another technical term of when you have two frequencies, the major frequency comes up against the minor actually becomes the major. And it happens when we've had sort of demonstrations of that and how it works. So when God comes and his spirit comes and he starts to manifest his presence, we are supposed to start to resonate and come into agreement with him. The Bible calls it unity or a power of agreement. We come together with him and it goes deeper than just the mind or the emotions. It goes right down to a genetic level that we're supposed to come into alignment, because God basically says that we're to be conformed to the image of his son. So God is doing things today and so that we can experience these things and open it up. For instance, you can see with your visible eyes today a very, very tiny bandwidth of the radiation and electromagnetic frequencies that are in this room. The only bit in that diagram is the tiny bit in the middle of visible light we can see. We can't see ultraviolet, we can't see X-rays, we can't see gamma rays, but they're actually here. Now, if we expose ourselves to ultraviolet rays, what happens? Get sunburned. So you might not be able to see it, but your body is affected by it. If you were to be exposed to gamma radiation, you may well turn into the Incredible Hulk and go green. Because your body would be irradiated, and actually it can change you at a genetic level. And we know that's absolutely scientific fact. So what about the other frequencies that are there, which are beyond that, which are spiritual frequencies, which are the frequencies of the angelic realm, of the Holy Spirit realm? Those frequencies are also there to affect us and to change us and transform us if we embrace them. The same goes at the other end of the scale. Infrared, we can't see, but when it goes higher than that, we've got FM, TV, shortwave, AM, we can hear those frequencies when they're tuned into. But there are other frequencies that we can't necessarily hear with our natural ears. Certain creatures can hear higher frequencies than man. Dogs have the dog whistle. We can't hear it with our frequency, but they can hear it. So our spirit can hear frequencies that our physical ears can't hear. We call it the voice of God. You see, it's like this stuff works when you look at it from a perspective that God wants to reveal himself to us, and he wants our spirit to engage with him, spirit to spirit. So we begin to see, and we can begin to see in the realm of the angelic realm and the spiritual side of things, because God wants us to engage with him. And God is releasing revelation and actual engagement. He wants us to experience and to be changed and transformed at every level, spirit, soul, body, so that we are the people who have a destiny that God has given us to fulfill. Now, that might seem a lot to some of you, and you might think, oh, my brain hurts. But there is stuff coming out of heaven that can frazzle our natural brain, but it's our spirit that needs to engage it. It's our spirit that will pick up those frequencies. When we open up our heart and open up our life and say, God, I'm here to engage with you. I'm here to experience you. I'm here to be the person you created me to be. And those things are coming out of heaven so that today we can get back to who we really are. And so that, as Heather was talking earlier, we can be seated in the heavenly places, not just as a theoretical thing, but as a actual thing. We can go to the heavenly courts and we can see righteousness and justice administered on earth as it is in heaven. Because that was always God's intention, that we would have access in our spirit to the realms of heaven so that we can manifest heaven on earth. Now, those manifestations can come out in many different ways. It can be experiences of righteousness, things changed. It can be healing, deliverance, wholeness, because there are sounds that can bring deliverance. There are musical sounds and frequencies that can bring deliverance, can set us free from the bondages that hold us captive. There are sounds that can bring healing and wholeness. There are sounds and fragrances and frequencies that actually can bring us back into alignment with God's purpose for our lives and heal all the stuff that's been messed up by the enemy. Now, also within the seven spirits of God, there and with the seven redemptive gifts, there are things that you can look in the Bible, lots of different sevens. I'm just going to give you a couple of them, and you can go and find out the rest for yourself. I've got lots of information on it. When we're dealing with spiritual warfare, and when we're dealing with bringing heaven to earth and destroying the works of the evil one and seeing unrighteousness and seeing injustice defeated, those seven gifts work together. Deuteronomy 28:7 says, "The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and they will flee before you seven ways." So there's ways in which we can administer the kingdom through who we are, which will put the enemy to flight, which I think is great. But we need each other to see total victory, just like the 12 tribes of Israel needed each other to take the promised land. They all fought together, but they then took possession of their inheritance. So we need the seven strategies and the gifts in place. And there's a list of them there. Prophet, warfare strategy, insight. Servant, warfare strategy, a platform. Teacher, warfare strategy, planning. Exhorter, warfare strategy, initiating. Giver, warfare strategy, mobilizing. Ruler, warfare strategy, completing. Mercy, warfare strategy, fulfillment. Now, I haven't got time to go into that. It's a whole message on its own, and I'm going to give you that. So if you're interested, you can go and search it out for yourselves. Now, there are also areas of the brain which also parallel our redemptive gift, interestingly enough. That means that the specific area of the brain matches each portion of our spirit and how we function. I'm going to give you the list. Prophet, the frontal lobe. Servant, parietal lobe. Teacher, temporal lobe. Exhorter, occipital lobe. Giver, cerebellum. Ruler, brainstem. Mercy, basal ganglia, which is right in the middle. And there's a nice little picture if you don't know where those bits are. You'll see cerebellum's right at the back. Frontal lobe, obviously, is right at the front, and they all work around. Now, think, well, why do I need to know that? Well, some very interesting research from Arthur Burt. Arthur Burt has done an awesome study of redemptive gifts and birthright. He's done an awful lot of stuff on ministry and how you set people free to come into your redemptive gift and birthright. And so he's done some actually scientific stuff with some scientific evidence. And I'm just going to give you some things that he says about this process. EEGs, which are machines, were originally developed to track brain anomalies. Eventually, someone began using them to also track thoughts. So they hook people up, got people to think in certain ways, and track the thoughts. An EAV machine is equipment that measures electrical currents in the meridians of the body and then interprets the data. This is what Arthur Burke says. "I believe you have your life force, your spirit, the Holy Spirit, a wide variety of unclean spirits, body memories, attachments to time, land, other people, all operating in us. Every single one of those factors contains energy in your body that is measured by the machines and the things they've hooked people up to. They do a baseline reading, kick out a demon, and then retest to see where the demon's gone. And scientifically, they see a change in those areas that happens, which I think is really fascinating. They also asked angels to come in and minister to people in their brain to dismantle the mess and restore the original design. And while they were doing it, They have an EEG record of the angelic working because it changed the functions of what were going on in the brain, which I think is really cool. You might think not, but I do. I think it's great. The human spirit is a very specialized electromagnetic field, also known as light. So tracking it should be fairly easy. And this is what they found. They could track the presence of the human spirit as it functions in the brain, particularly in associated with the different areas of our redemptive gift, which is really interesting. Same thing when they speaking tongues and things like that, they were able to track on the right side of the brain where the brain was active when we were speaking in tongues, which is opposite to the speech, normal speech, which operates in the left side of the brain. So all this stuff is actually scientific study. The EEG tests, they have to watch like a movie of the Holy Spirit in the brain when they were speaking to someone's spirit, calling forth the spirit to rise up and bring the rule of God, to bring transformation and change, to renew the mind and all those things, which is what we learn how to do when we speak the word of God, when we meditate on the word. The Holy Spirit is active in our brain in those particular areas to renew us and change us. Now, then they hooked up the EEG to test the brain, then they tested the soul with the other AVG machine, and then they began to engage the spirit. What happened is they would ask the portion of the spirit that's associated with one of those gifts to go into that area of the brain. And they'd be speaking to our spirit, and we can do that. We've done that lots of times. And what happened was, if there was something negative in that area, like a demonic area or a stronghold, the spirit wouldn't go and would say, I'm not going. And therefore, then they would minister into that area, set the person free from whatever the stronghold was, whatever the area that the demonic presence had a stronghold over or an attachment to, and then remeasure them when it was gone, and it would change and be different. So they actually have a scientific study of deliverance ministry, which I think is great. Now, how does that work with us? Well, God wants us to understand who we are and our redemptive gift. So if there are blockages or mindsets or strongholds in the way, then we can minister into those areas to see transformation and renewing of the mind in those areas. So this is what Arthur Burke says. Try this experiment. Have someone call each portion of your spirit to the front, in other words, to rise up. Ask that portion if it's willing to go into the area of the brain that matches your design. So if you're a prophet, to go into the front lobe. If you're one of the other ones, to go into the different areas. Ask it to visit both right and left side. So whether there's an issue with the cognitive side of it or the creative side of it. Now, the first five of those you can do that with because they've got left and right. The other two you can. And as a result of that, basically, it says in the work we have done in the lab, we can identify with the electronic equipment that there is an unclean presence in the brain, demon, AHS, not going to go into that today, ask me later, or a stronghold. The human spirit confirms the presence of this defilement and is unwilling to go there. Then you can focus your ministry in that particular area, which can be a blockage to us becoming who we're supposed to be. Fascinating stuff, I think. If you want more information, I'll give you the website addresses later that you can go and look into it yourself. There's a great blog that this guy does called the Brain Renewal Project. And it goes into the whole thing with the different brain waves as well. When we close our eyes, our brain shifts into alpha waves, which enables us to connect the spirit. When our eyes are open, we're in beta waves. When we sleep, we're in delta waves. There are different things that the brain functions. And they've done studies to actually show how the spirit connects with the brain to bring transformation and change, and to direct and bring creativity. You know, in the whole Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people and suddenly they were able to do creative things that they weren't able to do before, like make the tabernacle and do different things. The Holy Spirit came on people and enabled them to rule. How? This just demonstrates how it works. It connects up with who we are, our redemptive gift, to outwork our destiny. Good stuff. Now, back to some more normal stuff. Jesus demonstrated all the seven gifts in his life and ministry, which would make sense because Jesus is the encompassing of all the fruit of the Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit and everything else. So John 6:38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. in everything that we have as a redemptive gift, as an identity, as our destiny, it needs to be surrendered to God's will for our life. That's when all things can work together for good, when we're in line with God's will and purpose. The whole of Jesus' life was about serving and pointing people to the Father. He wasn't about pointing people to himself. He pointed people to the Father. Then the Father sent the Holy Spirit, who would point people to Jesus, who would point people to the Father. And you get this whole circle that brings it back into wholeness and unity, which is what Hebrew thinking is, a circular thing that happens. Okay. Jesus showed us the heart of the prophet. He didn't mince his words. If you do a study of the red letter, in a red letter Bible, of everything that Jesus said, he was pretty straight and in people's faces with the truth. He spoke the truth in love, but he spoke the truth. Nevertheless, sometimes people got very offended in their soul with the truth. People's spirits never get offended with truth. People's souls get very offended with truth, and we become sometimes very defensive and sometimes very offensive when we get confronted in our soul. And Jesus confronted people a lot, but in love. He was a servant who washed his disciples' feet. He had a heart that he was willing, even though he was the creator of the whole universe, he was willing to wash his disciples' feet. Wonderful. He was the one who taught from his life. His life was he unpacked his teachings with the disciples, and he taught about the kingdom, so he was a great teacher. He was one who gave words of encouragement also. He said to his disciples, when I'm gone, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the one who's going to come alongside you to help you and replace me in your life. Because obviously only those people who were with Jesus in the day-to-day, his 12 disciples and the people who were around him, had that connection. But now, in this age, the Holy Spirit has been released so all of us can have that connection. Jesus promises to come and live within us so we can connect with him personally as well. Jesus showed us the greatest act of giving in laying down his life for us. You couldn't give any more than your life, and he did that. He led his team by example. He was a great leader. He had a team of people around him. Therefore, he showed how it was to bring the kingdom and to bring rule. He had mercy to heal the sick, deliver the captives, bring binding up the brokenhearted, all those things that Isaiah 61 talks about in mercy. He demonstrated great mercy. So Jesus encapsulated all the seven gifts. Now, we're supposed to be transformed, conformed to his image, and transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we need to get lined up with what God says about us, about who we are from God's perspective, and start getting rid of all the junk that the world has told us. All that stuff that says you're no good, you'll never make it, you're rubbish, you're this, you're that. No, we listen to what God says. That's why we need to start to align ourselves with the truth, which will change and transform our lives. Jesus said it, the truth that you know will set you free. There is so much truth, but if you don't know it, it has no effect. So we need to know it. Now the word know means personal, actual experience, not intellectual knowledge. It means knowing by encounter. That's why God is releasing these revelatory things so that we can encounter him and experience him. We are wired up, and we have basic instincts that we live by. That's how they tie up with the seven spirits of God. Our instincts are the way we send and receive signals to engage and interpret the world around us. That's why we see things differently, because we have basic instincts that react to the same situation differently. It's like when I watch on the TV a sort of disaster or some sort of natural disaster, my mind engages, why did that happen? What can we learn from it? How can we make sure that doesn't happen again? That's how I think. Someone who's a giver gets a checkbook out or their credit card and sends money. Someone who's mercy probably cries. We have different ways that react to the situations. They're not right or wrong. They're just how we are. And we need to understand and work with it. So the seven basic instincts, and I'm just going to give it you, at the end of the slides, there's another 20 more slides which go into this if you're interested. I'm not going to teach it now because we haven't got time. The first instinct is contemplative instinct. Second, the kingdom instinct, student instinct, experiential instinct, aesthetic instinct, activist instinct, and relational instinct. Now, they go with the seven gifts, and they go with how we are and how we think. And you can, as I said, you can look at those later. We all possess a natural inclination for two or three spiritual instincts. We might have curiosity about some of the others. What's left over, we have a hard time believing that they have any value at all. Because that's how we are. Now, we've got to learn to value those other ways of thinking. Because it's so easy to think, well, I think this way, I'm right, everyone else must be wrong. Rather than, no, I'm right, and everyone else is right. So that we together understand each other. As maturity in the faith comes, we become conversant with all the languages of worship and the redemptive gifts, because that's how Jesus was. He appreciated everybody and valued everybody. So don't frustrate, appreciate. So easy to get frustrated with each other. Let's appreciate each other. Let's have this culture of honor, which enables us to be ourselves and be received by others, and then we can also let others be them and receive them. That's what this culture of honor is. That our greatest hindrance to harmony is lack of recognition of how God has made us to be. And it's natural, obviously, because we only see things the way we see them. That's why we need to understand that people see things differently. How do we know what our primary and our secondary gift are? How do we know? Well, we've done things like surveys, and there's questionnaires over there that you can do to give you a clue. You can look at all the different characteristics I've been reading out over the last 4 weeks, and I've got probably another 50, 100 slides of more characteristics, which I haven't brought. There are other helpful processes as well. Let's look at a couple of them. What motivates your heart? Just look at what motivates you, because that's a really good clue to who you are. God gave you a lifelong heart motive or redemptive gift. Just ask him, what is it that motivates me? Satan has basically spent all of your life denying you the truth of this gift. So look at what opposition there's been in your life. Where has the enemy been trying to stop you, block you, hinder you, affect you? Because that's a good clue about what the gifts are. Take time to examine your life and to see what God has been trying to reveal to you all along. And if you're open to that, you will see things in your life that are key milestone things where God has tried to instruct you, direct you, guide you, which will open up your heart. What gift seems to fit you with those natural basic instincts, the way you are? Have a look. Ask yourself, where do you come alive? What excites you and causes you to be passionate? Because that's very likely to be associated with how God has made you to be. What leaves you feeling drained? If you do certain things, and we all have duties and we all have to do certain stuff, what makes you feel drained and worn out? Because that's likely to be associated with some other gifts and not yours. Without knowing anything about redemptive gifts, most people can sort of list some of the answers to those questions. Yeah, how am I? What's my heart? How do I operate? There are tasks that you may be capable of doing, but they don't spur you on to want to do more of it. That's an indication that it's not your gift area. Now, if you're in a job that does those tasks, go and find another one. Because you will never be happy there. You will never find fulfillment doing something that does not line up with the basic understanding of who you are. For a gift of profit, the repetitive, strictly structured, methodical nature of being an accountant would be absolutely exhausting. Because I don't function that way. For a servant, serving as the spokesperson in the spotlight would be really uncomfortable, because that's not how they really operate. How do you respond to the weaknesses in others? This is a really interesting clue. Each gift views people and circumstances from the mindset of their own gift. When others don't see things as you see them, you may get upset. Do you find yourself taking up for the underdog and being irritated with those who are unkind to them? If you do, you may have a particular gift. Are you irritated with the prophet or exhorter who is not picking up on the other person's emotional pain? You may be mercy. They aren't mercy, and they don't necessarily are sensitive to other people's pain. What do your close friends and family see in you? Are you willing to ask them? Show the list of characteristics to a few people who you know well and are trustworthy, and ask them what they see. Be open and accountable so that we can really find out who we are. Most importantly, what does your Heavenly Father have to say? Ask God. Ask him to show you what gift you are and what secondary gift you are and how those work together in the future. He's the one that designed you. Ask him to reveal and affirm his design. We can do the same thing when we come to look at our destiny. Same sort of principles to help us understand what our destiny is and what we're supposed to outwork it, and we'll look at that in the future. It's Father God that instills these gifts into us, and he's instilled them into us to enable his plan for redemption of the earth and the universe to be outworked. He always designed us to be there to bring his kingdom, to manifest heaven on earth, to see heaven and earth be the same place, effectively. Hence, when Mick was talking about earlier about angels, when we start to speak with authority in those realms, then angels respond. And it's like the spiritual realm is supposed to respond to us. Demons are supposed to respond to us, like get out, and they're supposed to get out. It's like, that's how simple it should be. But obviously we make it more complicated at times. When we understand our gifts and function, it's under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's when we really function. When we're not doing things on our own for our own purpose, but we're being guided and led by the Spirit, which will bless others. While God fathers our redemptive gift, he fathers us and he creates opportunities for us to be that. He also expects us to react to his fathering by developing our secondary gift and then blessing others with it. And so using that to bless everyone else. We're blessed to be a blessing. Now, at the end, again, some more slides that go into that and give some examples of how the different primary and secondary gifts can work together. This releases even greater blessing when we're functioning in our primary gift, but we're learning also the other gifts, and there's usually one secondary one that's major that enables us to function better. Good comes when you operate in these gifts. Good not only for you, but also for the many people around you. When you are really being you, other people are going to be blessed by that. The whole gifts are designed not just for us, but for the whole, so that we can be part of a larger body, a group of people functioning together to bring heaven to earth. Arthur Burt, his ministry is Sapphire Leadership Group. The website there is www.theslg.com. If you're interested in that. The Brain Renewal blog is brainrenewalproject.com. His YouTube channel, which has got a whole wealth of teaching and resources, if you're really interested. I'm not reading that one out. You can read that yourself. But you can just search YouTube for Arthur Burt and it comes up with a wealth of resources. Now, I want to just finish by just ministering this. I believe God wants to touch us today as we go into a time of worship as well. Be open for the fragrances and the frequencies and the colors and the sounds of heaven to start resonating with you. Open up your heart and allow God to minister to you. Just want to close your eyes. Just relax. And I just want to allow the Holy Spirit to minister a few things. God wants to speak to your spirit. So I just call your spirit to attention right now, to listen and to feel and to pick up the frequency of what's going on in this room. The Father speaks out of heaven. There's an open heaven over us today. The Father speaks out of heaven, just like he spoke over Jesus, his son, in the past at his baptism. And God speaks, the Father affirms your identity as his children. He calls you my son, the inheritor of my promises, a joint heir with my son Jesus. Let your spirit begin to resonate with those words. You are a son of God. The Father affirms and approves your redemptive gifts. If you're a prophet, let that resonate now. I call you to be a prophet. If you're a servant, let it resonate. I call you to be a servant. If you're a teacher, I call you to be a teacher. If you're an exhorter, I call you to be an exhorter. If you're a giver, I call you to be a giver. If you're a ruler, I call you to be a ruler. If you're mercy, I call you to be mercy. Just let the sound of his voice just resonate with who you are and call it into being and bring it to the front. The Father just releases the Holy Spirit, just like he did in the beginning of creation when he hovered over the waters. And the Holy Spirit brings the sound and the color and the fragrance and the frequency of heaven just to be over you. Just let your spirit begin to engage. Let it begin to engage your soul and your body. Just let, as he hovers, as he broods over you, to bring you into the real truth of who you really are, your identity as a son, your redemptive gift, and your destiny. The Father is releasing the Kashmilim angels, the shining ones. They come with the multicolors today to minister to us. Just be open, allow your spirit and your heart to engage with God, to engage with him today. Just let that red frequency and sound of the color engage the prophet. Let the Spirit of the Lord tutor and train us as prophets of God. Let the orange frequency of the servant and the spirit of wisdom just minister to us today. The yellow, the teacher, with the spirit of understanding, just minister. The green of exhorter and the spirit of counsel, just minister to us. Let the blue of the giver and the spirit of might minister to us today. The indigo of the ruler and the spirit of knowledge minister to us. And the violet of mercy, let the spirit of the fear of the Lord minister to us. The seven spirits of God are released here today to minister to us, to train us and tutor us into sonship. Just let our spirit be open as we just engage with him. As we enter into a time of worship, let's surrender afresh to him. This is why sometimes we put our hands in the air, just to create that connection of surrender between heaven and earth. Sometimes people kneel or they lie. They're just surrendering their physical body as a sign of surrender of their spirit. Just encourage everyone today just to engage. Open up your heart. If you've never met Jesus before, if you've never got a personal relationship with God, just speak to him today from your heart and say, I choose to follow you. Become a disciple. And he will meet with you. He will bring new life to you. And he will create within you an ability to engage with him as he comes and fills you with his spirit and with his life. For all of us, let's engage with his presence today in a new and fresh way as these colors and frequencies are released to bring us into alignment so that we resonate with heaven on earth and we connect and become a gateway of heaven ourselves as the house of God, as his children and his people on the earth to manifest the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.